I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? GND here on The Fan. A special greetings and salutations to our Richmond audience. Hi, everybody. 910 The Fan down in the capital of the Commonwealth. Everybody else, 106.7 The Fan, Odyssey app, whatever's your pleasure, whatever butters your bread. All good as long as you're listening. Spread the word, tell a friend, etc. 106.7 The Fan's merch shop is open and available to the public. I've got my We've Got Wood shirt. You can get yours as well. Also, kudos to your Washington Nationals and all the folks that, you know, sometimes behind the scenes don't really get enough shine. Really cool coordinated effort. They gave 10,000 fans a welcome to the show James Wood shirt when they got to the ballpark on Monday. That's awesome. That's really cool. I can't remember a time where something like that has happened. Kind of got everybody got their ducks in a row and were able to get it done. That was really, really, really well done. And, of course, a little shout-out to the gentleman from Breaking Tea. They ain't dumb. They got themselves involved with that, and rightly so. Good deal. Here's what I want to talk about. Now, I'm going to be frank with you guys. We probably wouldn't do this if Grant was here, but he ain't. Normally, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the ins and outs of Team USA men's soccer losing in the Copa America tournament to Uruguay. Uruguay is pretty good. U.S. has had a tough history with them. And this Copa America is basically North American countries, Latin American countries, a little bit of South America as well, kind of in this elite group. It's the biggest thing the U.S. can do, I would argue, that's not World Cup, right? So World Cup, you get Europe too, and you know then you get Asian countries. But mostly the European countries tend to be juggernauts, right? You get Brazil, of course, South America. Uruguay's really good. Argentina defending champs. Then you get all the normal powers, the France, the Germany, the Italy's, you know, Spain, Croatia's really good, Portugal's excellent, you know about England, but whatever. They're really, really good at national teams. The U.S. is not on that level. But this is a tournament where the U.S. getting knocked out in the group stage is, quite frankly, a disgrace. These don't come around all that often. They won their first match, looked mediocre, to be honest with you, doing it, and then couldn't score for two games and are going home, are done after the group stage. They're not going to beat Argentina, Brazil, you know, some of the other elite, excellent teams in this thing. But they ought to be able to get out of their group and make some noise. And it still hasn't happened, even with this really talented roster. If you read, you know, as I try to follow Team USA. Again, I'm not watching all these guys in their club matches, and I can't tell you about fitness or how informed Christian Pulisic is or Weston McKennie or Tim Weah or, you know, what they're doing for their club teams or how MLS is doing, et cetera. But Team USA, I care about, always have. You put USA on the jersey, it matters to me. So I follow it. This was as talented a roster as they've had, allegedly or supposedly, in some time, as you gear up for the World Cup in 2026, which the U.S. is going to make, by the way, because we're one of the host countries. Otherwise, I don't know if we would, to be frank with you. The best that Team USA has done since the initial World Cup back in 1930, where they finished third, different time, different place, is in 2002, when they broke through in the round of 16 and got to the quarterfinals before losing. That quarterfinal appearance, all the way around the world, where games were on at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning local time here on the East Coast, that's the best they've done. They didn't qualify in 2018. Usually get bounced out in the elimination stage, right? First round of round of 16, if they get out of their group, despite fortunate draws. This is the first time that Team USA has even made the Olympics. There's an age limit, so you don't get the A squads, but it's a great indicator of development for future stars. Some of the current USA players played for the under-20 version of Team USA in the Olympic Games. That's a nice chance for guys that aren't quite superstars yet to sort of, you know, showcase the world. They didn't make it in 12, 16, or 20. They made it in 2024. So they'll be playing for in the Olympics here in this coming draft, or this coming round. The failures at the international level of USA soccer are exasperating, infuriating, and frankly, not okay. At the highest levels, what you have among fans are three camps. Camp number one, I don't care. The tough guy, I like football and nothing else, and let me watch wrestling and do a podcast. Okay. So, different category. I'm not talking to you. Totally fine. Like what you like. I'm not yucking your yum. Category two is the yeah, but. The excuse makers. This isn't an indicator. Well, yeah, this is hard. I understand it's hard. I get it very much. And then group three is me, who can't believe we're still here. We can't believe we're still here. The reason that folks like me can't believe we're still here, you may not have noticed. Look around. This here's the United States of America. We've got more great athletes than any country on this planet. We've got more resources for athletes than any country on this planet. We've got as much infrastructure for athletes as any country on this planet. We don't have the same soccer systems where they're plucking kids in England, Spain, Germany, France, out of grade school, having them eat, breathe, live, and sleep soccer at these pro academies for 15, 20 years for them to make their debut for whatever team. We're trying to start a structure like that, but it's really anathema to our academic system and our kind of way that we play scholastic sports. So those kind of systems are at odds. But we're trying to sort of catch up. We've been trying to play a game that we didn't invent by the world's rules, and we lose, and we lose, and lose, and lose, and lose, and lose, and lose. And the sport in this country is run by purists. It's run by people that think if we just do a much worse version of how they do it in Europe, the people will come. The people will come. And slowly but surely, the talent pool in the United States has gotten better. You satisfied? You guys good to go? Everybody happy with this? Everybody happy with losing to Panama? You guys good with zero threats against Uruguay? You good with that? I ain't. I know the talent pool is better. It's as evidenced by some of the clubs that these guys play for. Right? You look at Weston McKennie. Look at Pulisic. Look at some of their young stars. It was a coup to get a couple of the dudes that had dual nationalities to come play for the United States. For what? To lose in the group stage of Copa America again? It's infuriating. It's infuriating. You're trying the same thing, beating your head against the wall and wondering where the door is. It's exhausting. I have, quite frankly, no hope at all. None. Bupkis, that this will ever happen in my lifetime. I'm not even talking about winning a World Cup. I'm not even talking about that, because that's off the table as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about actually being legit. You know what it looks like when I'm talking about it. Right now, Team USA, according to the international FIFA rankings, I think is 11th in the world. No, they ain't. I'll tell you that right now. They're not the 11th best team in the world. Nope. You tell me right now that Team USA would be favored against Germany? They'd be favored against, I don't know, Colombia? They'd be even split with Italy. My hairy buttocks, they would not. They're not on the same level as Spain, Netherlands, Portugal, England, Brazil, Belgium, France, Argentina. How many countries am I ripping off? Well, this is part of their lifestyle. And I know you're probably sitting there going, why are we talking so much about this? Number one, it's July 2nd. Settle down. Number two, I know that they're obsessed and we're not. Some people are. You got plenty of soccer fans in this country. There are tens of thousands of people that are there in Kansas City watching them play. Tens of thousands of people go to games in Columbus, go to games in Seattle, go to games in Portland, go to games all over the place. In this marketplace right now where you and I are having this little conversation, soccer, international competitions, does better on TV than almost anywhere else in the country. There's interest. You can put your fingers in your ears and tough guy it all you want, but there is. I give a damn, again, because it's Team USA. So here's the point that I'm going to make, then I'm going to ask you guys for some phone calls and your opinions. Okay? Here's the point I'm going to make. The rest of the world, I'm going to use basketball. You know whose game basketball is? It's ours. Invented right here in these United States of America. Basketball, we're the best at basketball. We play our way in this country, right? Everybody familiar? You know how the rest of the world caught up? They stopped trying to do it our way. You ever seen a FIBA game? You ever seen a pro game in Turkey? You ever seen a pro game in Spain or any of the grown men pro leagues? It doesn't look like the USA anymore. It doesn't look like a bunch of unbelievable athletes that test off the charts jumping out of the gym. You get some guys that are athletic. But now some of that European style has come to the United States. The international game is kind of blended with Team USA or USA basketball. When you get a Jokic, a Doncic, an Antetokounmpo, you get some of these guys that are great shooters, spreading the court, big men that can knock down shots, five-out offenses, motion. You're seeing some of these influences infiltrate the NBA. The team before the Redeem team, with NBA superstars on it, getting smacked around in international competitions over multiple years. Not because Kevin Garnett couldn't play. It's not because Allen Iverson wasn't great. It's not because Stephon Marbury's a bum. It's because they found a way to compete doing it differently. Different rules, different styles, different everything to match the way international basketball was played. Cut to soccer. What has the United States done? Here's what we're going to do here in the United States. We're going to have the 12th best league in the world, kind of a bastardized version of how they do it in Europe. Everyone's going to come running. Wrong. So incorrect. The whole model is broken. Now, I know I'm treading lightly here, risking offending the MLS fans. Sorry, I don't care about your league. They had a chance to win me over. They failed. They lost. I don't care. I would care if they changed everything. You won't do it because you're a soccer purist. The same way all the old farts and old fogies and old curmudgeons who are sitting there going, I want pitchers to hit. I want the game to take as long as humanly possible. There's no clock. That's what's beautiful about it, said the old out-of-touch person. Sorry, they had to change it to attract the new people. Now, attendance tops 70 million a year, more than every other league combined in Major League Baseball. Television ratings are up. Sorry, they had to change the thing to get people on board. If you want USA to be good, I'm going to lose everybody here. You got to change the way it's done. I will gladly accept the role of soccer czar in the United States, and I'll accept it right now. We are going to change the way we do everything. First, timeouts. Oh, I pissed you off, didn't I? We're going to stop play for commercial breaks. That's number one. We need money. There's not enough money in the sport. I need the kid who's growing up saying, I'm going to be like this guy on TV. I need the fourth wide receiver at Auburn to have never touched a football and only played soccer his whole life. You know how much better of an athlete that guy is than 99.9999999% of the human beings on planet Earth? That's our advantage. Not out-European skilling guys. Not out-touching guys. Out-athleting people. Bigger fields. Tell those referees, take that whistle and throw it away. The offsides that you guys love, the VAR that you love, we ain't doing it no more. That's right. We spread the field and we've got offense. Goals. You get a bunch of people scoring a bunch of goals on television, you might get some fans excited. I'm not talking about all your buddies named Johan and Keegan and Aiken and Bradley and Jonas that you're watching games at the pub with right now. You got your authentic Portland Timbers flag going to watch MLS games. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about casual fans. You know, the millions of people that watch football, the millions of people that watch basketball and baseball. Those folks, they'll tune into your thing if you do it right. I'm a soccer fan. Played soccer growing up. It was my best sport. I loved it. They were the first sport, though, to tell me that I couldn't play other sports, so I stopped playing it. I got burned out, like a lot of kids did. I loved it. I had to walk away. Make somebody not walk away. If I'd had a kid, the way some kid right now, who's not that big, is watching Steph Curry knock down shots from half court, hit step back threes from 30 feet away, who changed basketball forever, You got a whole generation of kids that doesn't even like layups. I know I coach some of them. All they want to do is, can we practice step backs? Bro, you airball free throws. How are we doing a step back? Let's knock down a shot from 3 feet away first before we start hitting step backs. But that's the impact it could possibly have. Instead, here's what we're going to do. The same thing we've been doing. They'll have Bruce Arena come back probably and coach again. They'll probably go back to Greg Berhalter for a third time at some point. The same tried, the same failed non-ideas will get recycled. Some new leader will come in, not shake it up very much, and we'll still lose in glorious ways. We'll still lose in incredible and galling ways. Stuff happens in international soccer, right? Get a handball that should have been called, and Argentina beats England in the World Cup. You get the Italians a handful of years ago diving their way to a World Cup win. Stuff happens. I'm talking about really being one of the big boys and being elite. It'll never happen this way. Some people might say it's reactionary. I am reacting to my whole life of data. Since I was a kid, I've been told soccer's the next big thing. Soccer's next. Soccer will be one of the big four. It'll bump something else out, or there'll be a big five. Team USA will be excellent. We'll be competing for World Cups. Do the Judge Judy tap my watch gif over here. You competing yet? Did we get that competition, or did I miss it? Were we competing at the highest level, or did I miss that? Did I miss it? Because it would have been really, really fast. Would have been the Flash when he's altering time and he meets his younger self, who then becomes the guy that's trying to kill him, right? They've been real, real quick. It hasn't happened, and it's never going to happen because no one will ever change. So I ask you, that's my spiel. That's my little 20, that's my 18-minute soliloquy. 800-636-1067. Double play 345. We got one segment of calls on this. I want to take your calls. It's July 2nd, and yes, we are talking about soccer. We're talking about soccer. Soccer? Not football, soccer. Talking about Team USA soccer. Is it ever going to happen? Tell me why I'm wrong. 800-636-1067. I'm not even talking about winning a World Cup. I'm talking about being legit. I'm talking about where it's not another ridiculous setback. Where it's not something beyond embarrassing, like not qualifying for a World Cup in CONCACAF. CONCACAF, bro. You can't beat Trinidad. You can't get a W against Honduras. Stop it. Stop it. Think about the gauntlet the European countries go through. The gauntlet the South American countries go through. We can't beat Jamaica. There's like 80 people in Jamaica. They got the same number of people in Jamaica, and I'm talking out of my tuchus here, that we have in like New Jersey. You can't beat them on the regular? Canada's giving you your lunch? Is it ever going to happen where this country is elite at soccer, a true contender? 800-636-1067. My plan, the correct one, will never get adopted. It's never going to happen. I know that in my heart. Because this league is run, sport is run by purists who just think that the model of doing it the way the Europeans do it, except far worse, and have our best players have to go over there if they want to get real international experience at the highest level, is going to somehow translate into Team USA being worth a damn. Is it ever going to happen for men's soccer in this country? 800-636-1067. Your call's next.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that on the players? Is that on the manager? Is that on the federation? Where are we saying you need to be better?
Well, the players certainly need to be better, you know.
Do you think this generation of players has what it takes? Like, do you think that they have that deep inside of them?
I think there's a couple of them. I think they are better soccer players, but ultimately I don't think that they're better U.S. men's national team players.
That's from Fox Sports Thing. And welcome back. It's Unity here on the Fan. No, Graham, just standing with you. There's talent. That's undeniable. This talent level is better than it's ever been. Okay. Cute, cool, fun, I guess. You're still doing the same crap. Again, they did not qualify for the World Cup in 2018. That should be the beginning and the end of any kind of discussion. Any pushback, I could point to that. When I screamed back, and I can't remember which Olympics it was, but when I went, hey, wait a minute, we didn't make the Olympics? That's ridiculous. It's not the A-team. It doesn't really matter. Eventually, some of those guys might work up their way up to the A-team, your guys. That was a harbinger of things to come. And wouldn't you know it, they didn't make the World Cup a few years later with some of those guys that didn't make the Olympics. See what I'm saying? Smelling them cooking? My question to you at 800-636-1067 is it ever going to happen? I'm not talking about winning a World Cup. I think that's preposterous. Ever being really and truly elite. Ever actually being one of the big boys. Ever actually having a tournament where you go, well, yeah, that's a tough draw. I want to be the tough draw. When do I get to be the tough draw? When is it when the little ping pong ball comes up at crooked-ass FIFA when they're doing the intros and going, this person, this team is in this bracket, right? Whatever accent I just made up. And everyone from England's going, ah, damn it, USA. And everyone from Spain or Brazil is going, ah, crap, it's the U.S. We got a tough draw now. We're in the group of death because the USA's in there. Hadn't happened in my lifetime. Is it ever going to? Bowen, Fredericksburg. Is Team USA Soccer ever going to be legit? Bowen. And scene, that's all you get. It's a really good point he made, though. Let's go to Anthony and Calvert. Is it ever going to happen for Team USA?
I sure hope so. First of all, thanks for taking the call. Secondly, I really wanted to hear a soccer opinion from Fredericksburg because I guarantee you would have had an accent. That would be unique. I never played soccer. I played sports. But there are certain things in sports that are ubiquitous. They transfer, leverage, angles, spacing, et cetera. I've coached my son and daughter's soccer team. I've even reffed a couple of them, younger ages, mind you. And I'm a novice. I'm not even a novice. I don't know what I don't know. And I can tell by looking at it, it's just not there. So I hope you're right about this. It's got USA on the front. I'm into it. Like, I love watching women's U.S. soccer.
Yep, I do.
It's valuable to me, But the men's team, they're just walking around like, they're just like, yeah, that's cool. They were playing soccer. Yeah, I don't get it.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, and just a quick note about the women's program. And this is women's sports in the United States in general. We're way better than the rest of the world in almost anything and everything because we focused on it. Because of Title IX, you've got more access, opportunity, infrastructure for women's sports in this country than anywhere else. Nowhere else do they have intercollegiate athletics. That's unheard of in 99% of the countries around the world. The idea that two schools would get together and play and people would watch it is totally foreign. In England, it's like the Oxford and Cambridge rugby match will take place on the polo grounds before the cricket. A couple of people are doing it. But you've got international level, high level competitions that are taking place. So our women, in nearly any sport that you can think of, are miles ahead of women around the world. Not the case, though, with men's, especially when it comes to soccer. Recent performance from the women's national team notwithstanding, losing the way they did at the most recent World Cup, but in general, they are formidable. They are elite. They're always one of the favorites, and rightfully so. Will the men ever get there? Andre, Upper Marlboro. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I mean, you guys basically touched on everything and have broken it down for why. I do think we can get better. The why we're not there is soccer isn't a national sport for us. And then we have sports like baseball, basketball, and football. And when it comes to the men, you can make a lot of money playing those sports. So we tend to get detached from soccer. And when you look at the women, you guys touched on it. They have a lot. They're better because they have more opportunity. But at the same time, they don't have a lot of opportunity to do other things. So they're able to play soccer, and the notoriety for them is being good, not necessarily a paycheck. And as well as one thing I need to touch on, the only way I think we get better as a whole is just like how when you read about these sports teams over there in the UK and Europe, they have these camps that they invite kids to and nurture the talent from they're like 6 years old. That's what we have to do.
So, Andre, I love that phone call, buddy. Thank you, man. I got a bunch of people. I didn't mean to cut you off, but a couple more folks on hold. To that point, I don't know that we'll ever be able to truly do that in this country. And here's the reason I bring that up. I mentioned at the kind of the top of my ranting and raving at the beginning of the last segment. In what he's talking about is in Europe, they find some kid on a field that's 7, 8 years old. I'm not even kidding you. They go, him, put him in the academy. You now play soccer. Breathe, sleep, soccer, and we'll get you a couple classes on the side. We don't really do that here. And I don't know that we're ever going to do that here to that degree. Because kids go to school. You can play sports outside of school. You can play some travel ball. You can do this and that. We talk about how youth sports are out of control in a lot of ways, and a lot of ways they are here in this country. But it's all for the almighty college scholarship at some point. In these other countries, especially European ones, the academy system, it's unbelievable. I don't know that you'd ever really be able to adopt that here. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe eventually it happens. But it just seems that that's just not how we operate here. And I would kind of take our general approach maybe over that one, where you leave for every one kid that makes it through the academies on the national team, 25 kids don't. And now you got a guy that like didn't really go to school and sort of, you know, has a little bit of a pot belly, and he's like talking about how he was almost a great soccer player. I don't know. Let's go to Dave in Alexandria. Is it ever going to happen for Team USA?
I mean, only if we commit, Danny. I really appreciate you talking about this on the show, but you talked about how the U.S. needs to do it their way, and I think there was a gap for the women that they were able to exploit because it wasn't as developed overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, for the U.S. Soccer Federation, it's like a $200 million annual budget, and you've got NBA players who are signing contracts worth more than that. We're not committed to the sport, to the level we need to be. And I got to tell you, man, like, Lionel Messi, you know, plays for a country that's won a couple of World Cups. They had to ship him to Spain to make him the type of player he was. We've got to embrace the international system. I know you talked about doing it our own way, but I think, man, we've got to just double down on the way it's been and then develop and nurture that talent and invest so you don't have a U.S. Soccer Federation paying for two, you know, national teams and a youth infrastructure at such a low budget.
Mm. Dave, I appreciate you. Obviously informed. He knows his stuff. I will respectfully and fundamentally disagree with the idea that we can best the international teams and federations doing it their way. They were first. The example I keep coming back to, I know it's not apples to apples, but is basketball. The only way that the rest of the world caught up, you saw what the gap was in 1992. When the Dream Team rolled over there, the rest of the world was agape. And they got their asses handed to them. Please and thank you. What they said, and this isn't like one guy, like a bunch of dudes from different countries in a room, but you had smart people figure it out to go, all right, you know what? We can't beat Michael Jordan trying to have Slava Slavidov try to jump around like Michael Jordan does. We can't beat Magic Johnson by having Igor Mirishnichenkovich try to be like Magic Johnson. We don't have any David Robinsons here in Spain. We don't have any mailman, Karl Malone, in Portugal. We ain't got that. What do we have? What do we got? Let's widen the lane. Let's have everybody shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. Let's play high pick and roll. Let's allow moving screens and not really call it sometimes, but call it on the United States when they do it. Like, let's work around the edges. Trying to beat them at their game, it's their game. It's not ours. That's the part I can't get over, Dave. And again, it's a great call. You obviously know what you're talking about. But that's my impasse. That's my blockage on this. I can't. Like, for example, Darius runs a Madden League. And if you do well in that league, he kicks you out. But if I join that Madden League, am I going to try to run the plays that Darius runs? Am I going to try to stream my content and try to do what he does and emulate him and then try to beat him at that game? I'll get my ass kicked. And everyone will have fun in the chat. They'll just be like, yo, chat, Danny's struggling. And then everyone will make fun of me. And they'll say LOL and whatever the kids say on the internet. Right? They'll call me Skibbity. That would be foolish. If I'm going to beat him, I need to have like a weird internet connection for him. I got to slow his server down. I got to like have my friends like call him on his phone, interrupt his chat. Like I got to have like something glitch. I need to talk to the people at EA Sports to give me like souped up players. There's no way. I know I'm going too far with this Darius Madden analogy. I'm just busting his chops. But you know what I'm saying? Trying to do what they do better, I just don't see it. Steve, Woodbridge, can the U.S. ever compete at the real highest levels?
Yeah, I think we can. And I want to say thanks for taking a step out on the ledge and talking about soccer. Here's the thing about this current team. We've got players who are playing in the best leagues, Italy, England, Belgium, a lot of others. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're succeeding. They're starting, and they're kicking ass in those leagues. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they kicking ass here? Why? It's up to the coach. It's up to the manager to get the best out of these players. And that hasn't been happening. If these players were mediocre, you know, if they were in leagues that weren't so good, you know, if this was a team of all MLS guys, I can understand. But just remember where these guys come from. They come from some top teams and top leagues. And some of these players are top players in their league. So, yeah, I think eventually we can get there. I don't think we have to change that much with our system. I'm with you. We're not going to get the academies. That would make us better. It's not going to happen. What the Europeans did with their basketball team is they changed a couple of rules, but really what they do is they develop all-around talent. Every one of their best players is all-around.
Well, Steve, great call, buddy. Appreciate you making it. Thanks for being patient on hold as well. Yeah, they realize that they don't have a guy that can touch the top of the backboard. They don't have a 6'6 dude that is, you know, could be an NFL wide receiver that's a 3-and-D player. So they have to do it a different way. And that's kind of my point here. So to Steve's point, the other one that he made, again, very well. I think he's obviously, again, very informed caller when talking about this. Your Christian Pulisics, your Gio Reynas, your Tyler Adams, your Weston McKennies, these are international players that are playing in some of the best leagues for some of the best teams. Sometimes they're, you know, key contributors and things can happen with club teams. But it's not as if they're just, as you said, a bunch of MLS guys running around, you know, trying to make it. My point here is it's still nowhere near close to what it needs to be. And soccer fans in this country will do a lot of things. They'll blame Greg Berhalter, and he probably deserves a bunch of blame, to be honest with you. The Federation deserved a bunch of blame for kind of running that back when it's already failed. His teams don't score very much. And if you're not going to score, at least you better be defensively rock solid and accountable. I don't know that they always are. They're trying to play this European way, and they're not good enough to do that. As the talent level grows around the world and more people are playing the world's game, USA has not caught up. They haven't. They've made some strides. To Steve's point, there's more talent on this roster, I would argue, than there's ever been. Right? It's different than the guys I grew up with, the Tony Meola, Tab Ramos era, the John Harkes era. Gio Reyna's dad, Claudio Reyna, was a terrific midfielder. That was as good as Team USA really ever was. He was world class. But they've never had the talent depth that they have now. And still, we're doing this. Whatever this is, thank God we're hosting the next World Cup. If you had to bet money right now that Team USA would qualify, how sure would you be that you'd win your money back? They don't have to qualify. We're hosting this bad boy. But how comfortable would you be? I wouldn't be real comfortable. Appreciate all the calls on this. We did it, everybody. We got through it. That was a real, honest-to-God soccer conversation on sports radio. We did it together. Yeah, thanks, audience. Nice to see you guys. Beltway Blitz at 4. Spin you around what's going on with all the local D.C. sports teams. Well, Double Play is coming up next. Stay with us. at 5 p.m., when Jeff Zilgut joins us, and 6 p.m., I'm going to give you a chance to win some Dave Matthews Band tickets. Yeah, that Dave Matthews Band. You get a chance to win those at 5 and 6. And we're going to give away three pairs tomorrow. We're going to get nuts tomorrow. We got a little July 4th situation on Thursday. We won't be in on Friday either. So we're going to give them all away over the next 2 days. So at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., give you a chance to win some Dave Matthews Band tickets. Also want to remind you folks, as the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them Grant and Andy sent you so you can score yourself a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. So with all that little preamble done, it's time for the double play to happen right now. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I always think I have more time with this one. This new big voice guy thing, I took a sip of water, and the sip of water was over, and he was done. He gets in and out so quick. Here, let me time it. Darius, can you play it again? Hold on. Wait, no. Sorry. Okay. No, that was my fault. I wasn't ready. On your mark. Get set. It's 2.2 seconds. That's quick. That's quick. Now I know. I'll make the adjustment. We'll get the film. I'll get better. I'll get after it. But I was like, I got time to take a sip of water, right? Because I'm listening. The double play. You know what I mean? I lost it. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. There's your double play. Sponsorship. I don't know when this happened to me. But I realized something on Sunday night as I'm watching House of the Dragon, which, by the way, rules. It's awesome. They got it. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it. Horrifying, terrible stuff happens every week, but we're like, yep, well, that's House of the Dragon. That's what we do. That's Game of Thrones universe. It's pretty cruel. It's pretty awful. Pretty terrible stuff there. People that didn't watch Game of Thrones but are watching this, which, again, I have questions, are like, can they show that? Apparently. HBO's been doing this for a while. Welcome. All right. But I realized that Sunday, as I'm watching this excellent show, and I'm going to watch The Acolyte tonight. By the way, business picked up last week, episode 5. Okay. First 4, trash, left outside, skunked it. People threw rotten eggs at it, and it burned in the sun and baked that stench. Those first 4 episodes. Nope. Episode 5. It didn't redeem them, but business picked up is what I'm going to tell you. And then I knew of the boys on Thursday. That's what occurred to me as I'm watching Game of Thrones on another excellent episode. TV's better than movies. There you go. There it is. I'm going to back up from the microphone for a second. I'm going to say it real clear. TV is better than the movies.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Are you saying ludicrous, Coach? What are you saying?
Ludicrous.
Christ, thank you. I took a sip of tea like Kermit the Frog after I said that.
Christ.
We've gotten to the point where the TV show that can run for longer, where you get 8 hours, 10 hours, 16, 20-some hours of content, can do more than the movie ever could. The 2-hour movie, where you're introduced to a character, characters, end up caring about them, maybe it's over multiple films. Some of the sagas are always, you know, brilliant. Think of all the things that Marvel has done over the last, you know, couple of decades. But you meet somebody, something good, something bad happens, you have an antagonist, you have a story, and it wraps. It's still good. It's still a great form of entertainment. It can't do what the TV show can do anymore. The TV show, the big budget, high expense, prestige television program that HBO really got going in earnest a handful of years ago, some of their Hallmark shows like The Wire, The Sopranos. Then you enter AMC into the chat with their brilliant programming. Now you've got Netflix. Now you've got Amazon Prime. You've got Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV. All of these things are based on the idea that you can do more with a television show. It used to be, think back to, if you ever watched Entourage back in the day, it was always fun. But Vinny, the lead star of Entourage, is a movie star. And he has a meeting set up by this one agent who's trying to steal him from Ari Gold, who's going to meet with him about a TV project. And it's like, oh, Vince is a movie star. You can't do that. It's so beneath him. Remember? Because that's what it was. That was the distinction. I will let you know that that distinction doesn't exist anymore. The prestige TV show, the Jeremy Renner going from shooting arrows as Hawkeye, no, you need to do this gritty piece where you're the mayor connected to the mob in a place called Kingstown. What acting has been better than Walter White in Breaking Bad over those years? Who's done a better job for longer? Right? If he was a one-off movie where he was a chemistry teacher turned into a drug dealer, yeah, that's nice. It would be like on the same level as the movie like Why Him or whatever that dumb thing was where his daughter married Ashton Kutcher or something. Like, no one remembers Bryan Cranston's movies. Name one right now. Top of your head, go. Go. You can't. Maybe some of you can. Maybe members of the Cranston family can. Breaking Bad, dude. Breaking Bad rules. Breaking Bad gets replayed. Breaking Bad is one of the greatest television programs of all time. We're in the golden era. And this is the fun part. This is the fun time. Middle of the summer, no one else is doing anything. Oh, just keep releasing them. Bring them out, bring them out. I am so happy. I think now that's the biggest reason I rarely go to the movies anymore. I have so much good entertainment through all the thousands of things that we subscribe to, which is too damn much, if you ask me. But some of these incredible prestige TV shows where the budget ends up being bigger than a lot of these movies, and they're going to go for multiple seasons. I would much rather go on a journey with The Mandalorian and Grogu than probably go see another Star Wars movie right now, which I never thought I'd say as long as I lived. I basically live for the next Star Wars movie as a giant nerd slash dork, depending on your perspective. I think nerds are good at school, and dorks are people that are socially awkward that like some of the same stuff as nerds. There's a crossover, but nerds are good at algebra too. I wasn't. So I think I'm a dork. Whatever. Point is this. What they're doing on the quote-unquote small screen, I think is better than the big screen for the most part. There's still a place at the table for the big movie. I mean, Inside Out just goes to Billy. Right? Little Billy goat. You're still going to get the big opening. Bad Boys 9 or whatever the hell the latest is with Michael Bay, slow-mo explosions. They'll still do fine. There's still room for the big action flick and the air conditioning. But I'm telling you, TV's where it's at, dude. The movie that's direct to the service. You know how much fun it is to watch Extraction 2? Dreamboat Chris Hemsworth with not an ounce of body fat. Running around. Trying to be tough. You're saying gruff lines. I don't even know what voice I'm doing. But you kind of picture it being Hemsworth, sort of. You know what? I'm not going to make it out. Tell her I love her. Boom! Never runs out of bullets, that guy. It's awesome. The TV show. That's where I'm at, and that's my double play. Beltway Blitz is up next. Spin you around what's going on with DC Sports. Talk a little Nats, talk a little Manders. We'll talk Caps amongst ourselves. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love!
At 5 p.m., when Jeff Zilgut joins us, and 6 p.m., I'm going to give you a chance to win some Dave Matthews Band tickets. Yeah, that Dave Matthews Band. You get a chance to win those at 5 and 6. And we're going to give away 3 pairs tomorrow. We're going to get nuts tomorrow. You got a little July 4th situation on Thursday. We won't be in on Friday either, so we're going to give them all away over the next 2 days. So at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., give you a chance to win some Dave Matthews Band tickets. Also want to remind you folks, as the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them Grant and Andy sent you so you can score yourself a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. So with all that little preamble done, it's time for the double play to happen right now. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I always think I have more time with this one. This new big voice guy thing, I took a sip of water, and the sip of water was over, and he was done. He gets in and out so quick. Here, let me time it. Darius, can you play it again? Hold on. Wait, no. Sorry. Okay. No, that was my fault. I wasn't ready. On your mark. Get set. Go. It's 2.2 seconds. That's quick. That's quick. Now I know. I'll make the adjustment. We'll look at the film. I'll get better. I'll get after it. But I was like, I got time to take a sip of water, right? Because I'm listening. The double play. Brought to you by. You know what I mean? I lost it. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. There's your double play. Sponsorship. I don't know when this happened to me, but I realized something on Sunday night as I'm watching House of the Dragon, which, by the way, rules. It's awesome. They got it. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it. Horrifying, terrible stuff happens every week, but we're like, yep, well, that's House of the Dragon. That's what we do. It's Game of Thrones universe. It's pretty cruel. It's pretty awful. Pretty terrible stuff there. People that didn't watch Game of Thrones but are watching this, which, again, I have questions, are like, can they show that? Apparently. HBO's been doing this for a while. Welcome. All right. But I realized that Sunday, as I'm watching this excellent show, and I'm going to watch The Acolyte tonight. By the way, business picked up last week, episode 5. Okay. First 4, trash, left outside, skunked it. People threw rotten eggs at it, and it burned in the sun and baked that stench. Those first 4 episodes. Nope. Episode 5, it didn't redeem them, but business picked up, is what I'm going to tell you. And then I knew of The Boys on Thursday. That's what occurred to me as I'm watching Game of Thrones on another excellent episode. TV's better than movies. There you go. There it is. I'm going to back up from the microphone for a second. I'm going to say it real clear. TV is better than the movies.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Are you saying ludicrous, Coach? What are you saying?
Ludicrous.
Christ, thank you. I took a sip of tea like Kermit the Frog after I said that.
Christ.
We've gotten to the point where the TV show that can run for longer, where you get 8 hours, 10 hours, 16, 20-some hours of content, can do more than the movie ever could. The 2-hour movie, where you're introduced to a characters, end up caring about them, maybe it's over multiple films. Some of the sagas are always, you know, brilliant. Think of all the things that Marvel has done over the last, you know, couple of decades. But you meet somebody, something good, something bad happens. You have an antagonist, you have a story, and it wraps. It's still good. It's still a great form of entertainment. It can't do what the TV show can do anymore. The TV show, the big budget, high expense, prestige television program that HBO really got going in earnest handful of years ago, some of their Hallmark shows like The Wire, The Sopranos. Then you enter AMC into the chat with their brilliant programming. Now you've got Netflix. Now you've got Amazon Prime. You've got Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV. All of these things are based on the idea that you can do more with a television show. It used to be, think back to if you ever watched Entourage back in the day, it was always fun. But Vinny, the lead star of Entourage, is a movie star. And he has a meeting set up by this one agent who's trying to steal him from Ari Gold, who's going to meet with him about a TV project. And it's like, oh, Vince is a movie star. You can't do that. It's so beneath him. Remember? Because that's what it was. That was the distinction. I will let you know that that distinction doesn't exist anymore. The prestige TV show, the Jeremy Renner going from shooting arrows as Hawkeye, no, you need to do this gritty piece where you're the mayor connected to the mob in a place called Kingstown. What acting has been better than Walter White in Breaking Bad over those years? Who's done a better job for longer? Right? If he was a one-off movie where he was a chemistry teacher turned into a drug dealer, yeah, that's nice. It would be like on the same level as the movie like Why Him or whatever that dumb thing was where his daughter married Ashton Kutcher or something. Like, no one remembers Bryan Cranston's movies. Name one right now. Top of your head, go. Go. You can't. Maybe some of you can. Maybe members of the Cranston family can. Breaking Bad, dude. Breaking Bad rules. Breaking Bad gets replayed. Breaking Bad is one of the greatest television programs of all time. We're in the golden era. And this is the fun part. This is the fun time. Middle of the summer. No one else is doing anything. Oh, just keep releasing them. Bring them out. Bring them out. I am so happy. I think now that's the biggest reason I rarely go to the movies anymore. I have so much good entertainment through all the thousands of things that we subscribe to, which is too damn much, if you ask me. But some of these incredible prestige TV shows where the budget ends up being bigger than a lot of these movies, and they're going to go for multiple seasons, I would much rather go on a journey with The Mandalorian and Grogu than probably go see another Star Wars movie right now, which I never thought I'd say as long as I lived. I basically live for the next Star Wars movie as a giant nerd slash dork, depending on your perspective. I think nerds are good at school, and dorks are people that are socially awkward that like some of the same stuff as nerds. There's a crossover, but nerds are good at algebra, too. I wasn't, so I think I'm a dork. Whatever. Point is this. What they're doing on the quote-unquote small screen, I think is better than the big screen for the most part. There's still a place at the table for the big movie. I mean, Inside Out just grows to Billy, right? Little Billy Goat. You're still going to get the big opening. Bad Boys 9 or whatever the hell the latest is with Michael Bay, slow-mo explosions. They'll still do fine. There's still room for the big action flick and the air conditioning. But I'm telling you, TV's where it's at, dude. The movie that's direct to the service. You know how much fun it is to watch Extraction 2? Dreamboat Chris Hemsworth with not an ounce of body fat, running around, trying to be tough. You're saying gruff lines. I don't even know what voice I'm doing, but you kind of picture it being Hemsworth, sort of. You know what? I'm not going to make it out. Tell her I love her. Boom! Never runs out of bullets, that guy. It's awesome. The TV show. That's where I'm at, and that's my double play. Beltway Blitz is up next. Spin you around what's going on with DC Sports. Talk a little Nats, talk a little Manders. We'll talk Caps amongst ourselves. Don't go anywhere.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.